T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer is a football legend, a local legend, and a man that we cherish our opportunity to talk
and
to.
Good morning,
Tom.
Week.
How
morning,
are you, Tom. Buddy?
Man, how are you guys? It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, yep. Thank you. And Tom, you know, a rough one, a difficult game down in the heat of Miami. But I guess when we sit here and start picking it apart, as we've done all morning, just a missed opportunity. It feels like that's a game the Bears really owed it to themselves to win. And unfortunately, didn't happen for them.
Yeah, you know, but everybody has accountability here. So from the coaches to the players, there was mistakes made by everybody. And that's the thing is, you know, I think it was that tree cone that you played the last cut before he came back and said, you got to go back to the drawing board. No, you just got to stay at the drawing board, because Matt Nagy preaches that message each week. This is something that's developing week in and week out. And I think every scenario presents a different challenge, whether it was the heat in Miami or Adam Gase being familiar with some of the talent surrounding the Bears, defensively speaking, and he's a good football coach. So it's never going to be easy. And then you know, had the heat added to all that. I know as a player it would concern me, and I think it was a concern yesterday, but it's not an excuse. It's the mistakes they lost the game, not the heat.
Tom, 0 sacks by the defense, 541 yards by the Dolphins offense, 380 passing yards, career high for Brock Osweiler. What happened?
You know, another thing is the Miami Dolphins offensive line went into that game having 12 holding calls, and they had none. And there was one in the fourth quarter that Khalil Mack got tackled right in front of the official. They didn't call. So, again, you know, talk about all the analytical numbers. It's about, you know, having some uncertainty about a devised game plan against a quarterback at the last moment. So maybe you prepare a little differently against Ryan Tannehill, but Adam Gase did a great job of getting Brock Osweiler prepared. And you kind of understand what Adam's about with his development of Jay Cutler back in the day, where he's going to cut the field in half. He's going to have an immediate decision almost pre-made before the snap by the quarterback to make sure you get the ball out of the hands before any of these rushers can ever get to you. And I think it was those guys constructing a really well organized game plan, trying to take advantage of a team that's so aggressive at the point of it. From getting sacks. And I think twice they got to the quarterback, and one was by Bryce Callahan and the other one was by Nick Kwiatkowski. These defensive linemen or the outside linebackers never touched him. So I guess you have to give credit to the offensive line and the immediacy of the game planning to get the ball away from the quarterback.
They said on the national broadcast that Adam Gase had told them in their meeting that they had decided that they were going to do everything humanly possible to Mack. They were not going to let him have a one-on-one with anybody in the course of the game. And so they were chipping and they were throwing extra people at him and all that. And he turned his ankle. And it seemed, Tom, that, you know, again, this vaunted Bears pass rush, when Mack was slowed down, when he was trying to play hurt, and when they were taking him out of the game, all of a sudden, you're right, I think Akeem had one hit on him. I think there were four quarterback hits, one from Akeem, one from Trevathan, one from Kwiatkowski, and one from was it Bryce Callahan? That's it. I mean, that is the only time they got to him, and they didn't sack him. And you know, it just makes you worry that this could be a blueprint for how teams are going to prepare for them.
Yeah, I guess it's it can be a blueprint to success if you have the ability to do that. So just going back into my era when we were getting to prepare to play Lawrence Taylor, Coach Dick would come into the first meeting and say, Lawrence Taylor is not going to beat me. Anybody else can beat me, but it's not going to be Lawrence Taylor. So we're going to repeatedly run the ball at him. We are going to set up our protection to make sure that we have an initial blocker and we have backup help behind him. And Lawrence Taylor never got a sack against us. So if you go generations and you can devise a game plan to take the most important key to what's been successful for them up into their point and make sure he doesn't beat you. And Adam, he's seen it before in other game plans he had to devise, whether it's for his Bears days, getting ready for Clay Matthews or whomever he's been able to face. But I don't think it's necessarily a blueprint, but again, it is a way that they're going to have to devise alternate rushing. And maybe that's, you could take Khalil and you can put him in a position at the last second. You don't have to line him up and as the offense breaks the huddle, he's stationary in one play on one spot on a third down. So maybe the versatility and the movement to take advantage of how now they're devising their pass blocking scheme to put Khalil in a position of strength and maybe switch Leonard Floyd or use Aaron Lynch or even Akeem Hicks to that point. And so it's going to be, all right, they made their chess move on the NFL landscape. Now, what are we going to do in our next move to create opportunities for Khalil and the rest of the rushers?
This segment with Tom Thayer is brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com. Tom, you talked about collective accountability. So that goes to the coaches as well and Matt Nagy. Is it fair to question the clock management and the final minute of regulation and the play calling and the final drive of overtime?
You know, unfortunately, that's what we're going to focus on the two losses because there is accountability and there is analytical understanding from upstairs in the booth, and they have this chart to help them make all the decisions. But there's, you know, plays that go back to the first run that Jordan Howard had in the first quarter. I think it might have been the second or third play of the game. He's going to line up to the left of the quarterback, and then he's going to have a shotgun snap that's going to take time, and then there's going to be the handoff to Jordan, but then they leave Robert Quinn unblocked, who's the defensive end closest to Jordan Howard, and he closes it down and makes the tackle for no gain. So in the initial construction of the play, I need to see questions answered that. You have to make sure that you get the front line blocked in order to try to get the running back to the second level. And when they leave free rushers on the line of scrimmage in an instance like that, it's something that now we're blaming Jordan Howard for not, you know, having the yards that we expect out of him. And so sometimes you have to do a re-architect some of the blocking schemes they have also.
We know Belichick and we know his reputation. What advantage is it for him? Is it an advantage if he's put together a defensive game plan against Kansas City and now has a similar offense with the Bears? Conversely, if Matt Nagy can see what worked for Kansas City versus what happened, and they scored a ton of points last night, who really walks away from this one as the guy with the advantage?
That's a great question. You know, I still think New England has the advantage because their coaching staff, Belichick, definitely Matt Patricia's gone, but again, the scheme is the same. And so you got to think Belichick with a 41-year-old quarterback who knows NFL defenses better than anybody else out there. He understands the talent that he has available to him, and he knows how to use it against the Bears' deficiencies. So you have to give the advantage to New England at this point. But, you know, it's still, you know, I know, or I would think that Matt would go to the podium and still talk about the process of development. And I think we all got lulled to sleep when Mitch threw for 6 touchdown passes against Tampa, and we thought it was going to be that easy week in and week out. And it's just not that way. And they had the third quarter that had some explosiveness to it, but you know, you're not able to maintain it in the fourth quarter because you didn't do anything in the first two quarters.
So how do you assess his play, Tom? Because he had good numbers. I mean, you look at it, 122.5 pass rating, 22 of 31, 316, 3 touchdowns and a pick. But as you said, I mean, you didn't come away with that feeling like those numbers surprised me because they're very impressive and the first half just wasn't.
Right. You know, the thing that disturbed me most of anything is when you talk about that red zone interception, that safety was standing eye to eye with him. I don't know. You know what's weird? I'm trying to watch it on tape because now you got these guys in the all white uniforms and he's standing up against the pad on the goal line that's, or on the goal post that's also white. I don't know if Mitch ever even saw him. And so, I know he, you know, the quarterbacks are not going to answer it honestly that they lost vision of a player. But when I saw him and I saw where he was standing and I saw where Mitch threw the ball, it was like, man, you didn't even pay attention to that guy in center field. And so, yeah, you played good and you played a, you know, you're doing a nice job of developing, and I still have a great deal of faith in him. But some of those question mark throws are going to come back and, you know, Mitch will be questioned about and are pretty haunting if you're a player and you're sitting there watching a tape asking yourself, what am I doing here or what am I seeing? And hopefully that question will be answered. And, you know, Mitch, he doesn't make the same mistake twice. And hopefully, you know, you can be more accurate when you have the opportunities, like the first pass of the one play Anthony Miller on the first series of the game where he was overthrown, but he was completely behind the coverage. And, you know, you have to be concerned about, you know, the accuracy of those throws as much as you do kind of losing sight of defensive players on the field.
A lot of people, you mentioned Lawrence Taylor earlier, talking about how you block a guy. A lot of people have compared Khalil Mack to Lawrence Taylor. Belichick is his defensive coordinator. He was the guy that that worked closely with Lawrence Taylor for the majority of his career and really had some great success with him. Does that give him any sort of insight into how to block a guy like Mack? Is it just generally when you have a dominant pass rusher, you got to throw bodies at him? I mean, is there any advantage of what one guy might have liked or disliked that you can apply to the other guy?
Yeah, I do. I think that's a good point by you that, you know, going back in his history that he has a lot of dealings with Lawrence Taylor, and you know how to use his strengths, but you know how to try to take his strengths away from him. And Ditka always used to say, I'm not going to let Lawrence Taylor chase me from behind and make plays trailing. I'm going to attack him relentlessly, running the ball at him, create fatigue, put him on the defensive, and then have multiple bodies to be responsible for him in the pass protection. So I do think that Bill knows how intelligent his quarterback is, and he understands that Tom Brady can probably get the ball out of his hands again, like they devised the scheme for Osweiler to do, just to protect him.
Great stuff, Tom. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for having me, guys. See ya.
That is Tom Thayer. Always a joy to talk to him. And, you know,
excellent points.
Belichick has been doing this for 40 years, David,
yeah,
working in the NFL. And that's
and as the texter
advantage.
Says, advantage Belichick, you think Nagy just got out coached by Adam Gase?
Wow, that's mean.
That's hard.
312-644-6767 is the number. We'll get back to your calls next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's always a pleasure to talk to the man himself. He is Akeem Hicks. Morning, Akeem. How are you?
Morning, Akeem.
Did you miss me?
We did.
Yeah, we did, actually. How are you feeling?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. About to go into work and check this tape out and see what it looked like.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, I think, when we look at the entirety of the game, it seemed as if, you know, you guys were playing great football and early in that game, and the offense wasn't able to click. And then later in the game, the offense was starting to click a little bit, and it seemed like the heat in the entirety of the game, you know, it looked like Khalil Mack may have turned an ankle. Just seemed like a lot of things ganged up on you as the game went on.
I would say there were momentum shifts the entire game. It was a hard-fought game overall. I definitely know all the fans in the house got their money's worth because there was momentum shifts back and forth the entire game. If they turned the ball over, we would turn the ball over. We come back, take one away, they'd get one. It was a momentum-swinging game.
Akeem,
we came out on the short end of it.
As you flew back, was there anything that, any one thing that stood out to you as most disappointing? Because when you play a team like the Dolphins and they're banged up on their offensive line and you got a backup quarterback, probably looked at it as an opportunity going in. It come out of it with a very different result. What was the one thing, if anything, that stood out?
Help me better with your question. I'm sorry.
Was there one thing that stood out that was most disappointing about the defensive effort?
Oh, no, I couldn't say so. I think that it was a pretty intense, hard-fought game. I think there was, we made our plays. They got some plays on us. This is the NFL. This is the NFL. There's going to be somebody out there that's going to have your number on Sunday, and all you can do is take your seat.
I never thought there'd be a game where you guys didn't get a sack. And maybe it was the change of quarterback, maybe the idea that they knew they had to just get rid of the ball. It seemed like they weren't really spending a lot of time. He wasn't Brock Osweiler wasn't spending a lot of time, running. He's not mobile. He wasn't running around. He wasn't waiting for anything to open up. They were getting rid of the ball.
Well, they knew exactly what they had to do going in, and we knew, and well, at least we felt like we had a good idea of what their game plan would be, and we were pretty spot on when we got out there. It was a lot of quick game, a little bubble screen, the run. They kept the hurry up offense going. It was a little bit of everything that they've done over the past four games. And we had a good idea, and we played well in spurts and stopped it, and they just had a little bit more.
How challenging were the conditions? We saw what the temperature was. We saw the heat index, and we know that you guys were on the field a long time. What did that mean, and how taxing was it?
Well, it was hot, I'll tell you that. But it doesn't matter, man, if you're playing in the cold or the heat or it's you're in San Diego and it's a perfect 82 degrees, man. You got to go out there and play your best game. And I think that the type of team that we have, I think everybody pushed through and gave their best effort to endure whatever we had to go through. And I think it was a really good game, really hard fought, really, back and forth. We just came up on the short end of this and we have to go in here and see what we can do better.
Akeem, I know you don't talk a lot about the past, but you are a former Patriot. You played for that team, among others, in your career. What is your take on that organization, the success they've had? What does this challenge mean to you?
Well, it's a great organization, great front office, great staff, great coaches, great players. I definitely enjoyed my time there. But now they're coming to Soldier Field, and we got to take care of business, man.
Well, you kidded about us missing you last week, and we did. And talk about the off week. How did you spend it? How important was it for you to come back after what happened against the Bucks, and address your teammates and just have a good week of practice?
Oh, it was a great week off. Are you talking about my bye week, or are you talking about this week we have preparing for this game?
The bye week, yeah.
The bye week was great, man. You get a chance to get off your feet, a few less 3-hour practices. So, it's good to stretch out and relax a little bit. That's exactly what your bye week is for, to let your body recuperate. Yeah.
Did you watch any – I don't know how late you got back. Did you watch any of the New England-Kansas City game? It was it was like your game. It was just wildly entertaining, and it went on forever, and it was questioned as to who was going to win right to the end.
Oh, no, I haven't even seen it. I literally just woke up to talk to you guys. who won?
New England won on the last second field
43
goal.
43-40.
Yeah.
Boy, they were putting in some points.
Yeah. Defensive struggle.
Boy, you guys got a genuine first reaction to that.
when you prepare for a team like that, you don't play a lot of AFC East teams normally. Obviously, you're going to play four in a row here, which is a real quirk in the schedule. But how do you put together a game plan? I don't know. Can you get a head start during the bye week? Do you have to do a lot of film study now looking at New England and what they do? Everybody knows Brady is, old as time, but, amazing in terms of still being able to do it. How do you prepare?
Man, so first of all, you take week to week, right? So
yep.
we just hopped off of Miami, and we're going to go back in. We got to digest that, let it hurt a little bit, come back, go Tuesday, check the tape out as a team, see what we can do better as far as it pertains to us. And then Wednesday, it'll be all New England. We might even take a little bit of a peek on Tuesday night. If you're if you're really adventurous, you'll go take a peek at New England Tuesday night and get after them early.
So how is Khalil Mack's ankle?
Dude, I don't know.
How much did that factor in yesterday, do you think? Was he slowed a lot by it, a little by it? Did it make it an impact at all?
I couldn't speak to that because, number one, that's not me. Number two, I'm not a medical doctor. Number three, he played his heart out just like everybody else on that defense. So
I want to ask you about two plays connected to Leonard Floyd, because I thought they were both interesting in different ways. The one was the WWE takedown. I understand, you know, you can't pick a guy up and throw him down. But what really bothered me about that play is that Danny Amendola is still grinding, even though he stopped. And he's a yard short of the first down. If the official doesn't blow the whistle there, what are you supposed to do? Let him get the first down? I mean, and that was weird. And then the other one was this sort of mystery roughing the passer penalty, where I guess he may have, while trying to block a pass, may have slapped the guy's helmet. Those were both, I thought, kind of harsh, just because what are you supposed to do?
Well, the game's just getting soft, man. People don't want to get hit anymore. You can't even pinch the quarterback. I don't know what to tell you, man. He played hard yesterday. He endured the conditions like everybody else, and he was just out there trying to make plays. And unfortunately, this is probably going to be, you know, anytime you get any type of roughing the passer penalty on a quarterback, there's a fine letter on the way. So he's going to end up paying a couple grand just because he was out there playing football to the best of his ability. It's a tough situation.
Yeah, I, what drives me crazy about it is the idea, you know, when you're stopping a guy from getting a first down, I get it. You can't, but when his forward momentum is stopped and he keeps driving, aren't you, you know, what else are you supposed to do? I thought that was a really weird one too. And I think if they're going to call a penalty on that, then they ought to intercede and blow a whistle to stop the play.
To stop him from trying to get more yards, right?
Yeah.
And think about the game, right? You're going 100 miles an hour. This guy's going 100 miles an hour. There's no perfect way to get a hold of somebody, especially somebody that's 4 feet tall, right? And so I could see him, like, as I was running to the ball, I could see him trying to get a hook on his leg, and Danny's driving forward, and he finally got a hold of the leg and threw him down, and it was a litany of flags coming out of everybody's pocket. But
a lot of laundry.
As far as the roughing the passer goes, I know this is a hot topic in the NFL right now. Guys are getting flags left and right for even falling on top of the quarterback. I really don't know, you know, how this is going to turn out, you know, for the league. But I would say that everybody is trying to do their best to play to the rules. But it's a tough situation. You can turn around and hurt yourself trying to prevent yourself from getting the flag for taking down the quarterback. It's tough, but this is what you get, and you do your best with it.
This segment's brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store, buyfordnow.com. So, Akeem, as you guys get back, before we let you go, what is the mindset of this defense going in? How is the confidence level after a game like yesterday, how much will you, be ready to go when practice resumes?
Confidence is very high. Confidence is always high around Hallis Hall. we're going to go in here. We're going to break down this tape. We're going to fix the issues. And you know, I'm sure there's going to be a conversation to be had as a team to make sure we're in the right mindset. And we're going to go forward, man. This is it's a marathon. You know, we got to push through and get on to the next week.
And I can't believe we buried our lead. We haven't even asked you about that forced fumble. That was an unbelievable play on your part. You forced the ball out, and it's a pity you guys couldn't take advantage of it. But kudos to you. That was really incredible. It looked like the game was over, and you interceded and made one hell of a play. And that's what you do, right? That's your calling card.
Thank you, man. It was wish we could have pulled it off.
I hear you. All right, Akeem. Thanks, buddy.
Akeem.
All right, guys.
Take care. That's Akeem Hicks. He, of course, the Bears defensive tackle, and he forced that fumble in overtime. What a gift that was to get that ball back. And, you know, again, Joe, we had someone call up earlier and say, boy, I wish they'd go back to the old rule. The old rule, they would have kicked the field goal there and the game would have been over. So, you know,
no,
they were lucky to have a chance to get the ball back.
Yeah, there was way too much on who ends up winning the coin toss.
Right.
You're very likely to end up winning the game. And what he said about the game getting softened, you know, everybody was upset. Oh, that's a horrible call. That's a horrible call on Floyd. And it was, but we don't even know what the rules are anymore. I mean, that really? Tapping? Just barely brushing the helmet? Now that's a roughing the passer.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Akeem Hicks. He just joined us, as he does in most post games, and
most it was Mondays
fun to talk to him and get their perspective on what's going on. And,
confidence, you know, is high.
Tomorrow we'll be moving on in earnest. We'll be talking about the hoodie, the head coach of the New England Patriots. I believe if you watch the 30 for 30 documentary on him and Parcells, they had Lawrence Taylor on. They said they called him Doom. That was his nickname back with the Giants, because it was every time you dealt with them, it was always, we can't do this and we don't do this and why didn't you do that? So they nicknamed him Doom. Maybe he's known as Doom for another reason now, because it usually he usually outcoaches people. And as our texter said earlier, if Matt Nagy had a problem with one Adam Gase, what's going to happen with the hoodie coming to town?
Yeah, it's going to come down to execution, I think. You're going to have to outplay the Patriots. I don't think you're going to outcoach Bill Belichick. So the defense has got to respond to getting 541 yards gained on them and given up 380 passing yards to Brock Osweiler, his career high. I know that it's, you know,
no sacks.
No sacks, and Akeem Hicks says that the confidence is high, and that's
four hits, one by a defensive lineman. That was the aforementioned Akeem Hicks.
Yeah, and he forced the fumble. It was great timing for that.
One tackle for loss in the whole game.
Fumbles for the Dolphins. That game was like, who could give it away?
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to win. The Bears have to look at this as tough as it was to watch and endure and experience. Look, they can look at it no other way than what he described. They've got to come to work confident, believing they can hang with the Patriots, believing they can beat anybody on the schedule.
312-644-6767. Let's start with Rodney. He's in Chicago. Hey, Rodney.
Hey, Rodney.
Hey, fellas. How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to put it out there. You know, I hate the phrase of bend but don't break. You know, sometimes this applies in certain situations during the game, but that can't be the game plan. You know, Osweiler is a stationary QB, and same thing goes with Rodgers, and that's how, you know, both losses. We didn't, you know, how do you flush a stationary quarterback out of the pocket? You blitz him down the middle. And if we don't do the same thing, you know, with Brady, I'm afraid we're going to get the same results.
Brady a little different than Osweiler.
I think your philosophy in attacking Tom Brady should be very different than it would be to attack Brock Osweiler, who didn't practice all week and was making his first start for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point that you make, Rodney, that Vic Fangio didn't seem to change the way he was attacking the quarterback. Now, they didn't allow a point in the first half, so all those points were scored late. And, you know, to me, the most disappointing element of the defense is you finally take a lead, you score a touchdown, and then one play, 75-yard touchdown, a couple of guys totally loafing on that play. That's rough. That's hard to watch. And that's not who they aspire to be. So that was just one play that really hurt them pretty dramatically, to make up a word. Scott in Fort Wayne. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
My question stems around the use of the QB sneak. Something I've seen the last two games is they really like to use that QB sneak on third and one, but it's not a short one. It's a long one. And what there seems to be a high risk in doing that when you have these running backs that are designed for that. What are your thoughts on utilizing?
Sometimes you see an opening. Sometimes you see an opportunity where there's the guard or center is uncovered and you want him to have a quick snap, and it's a lot quicker play than it is to hand off to a running back who might get stopped behind the line.
I saw them do it in that game. Have they done it a lot on third and one? I mean, I think one of the things you got to be careful about is not being predictable in what you're doing. And so you want to have people worried that the quarterback could sneak from a long yard out as opposed to passing, as opposed to a shovel pass or whatever it is you're doing. And we did have a texter earlier who got mad saying that, you know, you haven't acknowledged that Mitch threw three touchdown passes. Well, he threw two and there was a shuffle pass.
That counts. It was a forward throwing motion.
That's a run.
Don't really count that?
Not in my mind.
That was triple option action. I love it because it looks like Oklahoma in 1970s.
Yeah.
You're running, you know, the handoff, then there's a guy you could pitch to, then the guy you could pitch forward to, which is the pass.
Yeah, and Oklahoma 70s is what you measure football with.
Exactly. Thank you.
Let's try Michael. Michael's on the south side.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, I think two things. First of all, I think that last touchdown pass, I saw like four orange jerseys over there and one white jersey, and they let the guy get past them. And that to me kind of, the heat kind of like played a factor in there, right? 90 degrees or whatever. And they was done. I mean, they let that guy go hola all the way to the end zone. And my thing is this, with New England coming, because their defense is ain't all that in New England. They gave up 40 points to the Chiefs. Now, the Bears don't need the, they could be decent defense and still win the game against the, when they're playing in Soldier Field. Temperature's going to be maybe in the 50s or 60s or something.
Yeah, a lot easier. Yep.
Right. And you would think that, you know, just having the offense serviceable and the defense come back the way it's supposed to be, they can win that game, right? Because you don't really want to get
bring them on,
that.
Right? You're saying like to Belichick, bring on the hoodie.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Okay, there's a difference.
Here's the problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
It's a step up in class.
A little bit.
No offense to anyone.
No offense.
Tom Brady, a little bit different than Brock Osweiler.
And Bill Belichick and preparing a defensive game plan for Mitch Trubisky.
Tom Brady a little bit better than Ryan Tannehill, to be brutally honest. Doesn't matter who's starting.
Slightly.
Tom Brady a little bit better, period. And yes, there's not a shadow of a doubt that you're dealing with you're dealing with a better coach and a better team.
Okay, this is what you're going to hear from the Bears. And maybe this is the way they have to look at it. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, the guys that we just talked about.
Old and slow.
Well, yeah, old and slow. But they also went into Detroit and lost.
Yeah. Well, right? that's because they had the defensive coordinator that knew all the secrets.
Well, they didn't go into Detroit and lose. They went on the road in the NFC North opponent in the Midwest, and they lost. So there's your historic precedent.
Yeah, but I mean, when you know how they cheat, don't you even if you, back off.
Oh, wow, you're going there.
Yeah, I had to. Let's try Jay's in Chicago. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good. I'm still a little emotional, so just bear with me.
Okay.
But is it me, or did anyone else feel like the defense had a terrible game? But however, when the money was on the table and that overtime, with that goal line stop, I still felt like they came through in the end.
Yeah.
And on that third and four, sort of field goal, is it me or did anyone else feel like we didn't try to go for the first? I felt like Nagy was passing the entire game. The running backs only had 17 or 18 carries as a running back unit, but he still chose to run the ball instead of do what he had been doing the entire game. And I felt like if you were already in the range on third and four, why not kick a field goal there? But instead you go for it, but you run instead of doing what you had been doing the entire game. I don't know. I just feel like he didn't try and get that first down in that third and four.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Jay. That's what I wrote on 670thescore.com. I believe it from the day that Matt Nagy was hired. He promised that he would be himself. He promised he would be aggressive. He promised he would take risks because that's the guy we saw. But that's not the guy we saw when it was in overtime calling those plays.
Colin is on with Mully and Hall.
Hey, Colin.
Hey, guys. I'm calling from down here. I was at the game. The section I was in was by our sidelines, and it was in the sun the entire game. And I brought a sombrero. I painted it Bears colors. But I'm telling you, everybody was dying, and that sideline is beaming down. What do you think especially that 70-yard play?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, the Bears wilted in the heat. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You saw the defense, they were on the field a lot. And what was interesting, if you were at the game, but on the broadcast, they said that in their meeting that Adam Gase had come in and told them that they were hoping to be close at the end of the game because they felt that their advantage, their home advantage, their advantage of playing in that Miami weather was going to be to their favor.
It did.
It certainly was.
They ran 75 offensive plays.
That's a lot of plays.
That's a lot
man.
Of plays. I know it was overtime, but that gives you an idea of just how spent the Bears defense must have been.
All right. We want to caution our listeners, at least the one listener that texted us, that we are going to do transition next.
Okay.
It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.